Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. We're going to have fun with numbers today. That's what we're doing today. That's our show today. I know you're like, that's our show. We're done. No, we're not done. We barely started. We've got a great show ahead today, folks. My guest today is Susan Owens. She is a numerologist, and she's got one wonderful book that I've been paging through already called The Wisdom of Numerology. She has a new book that's coming out here in about 2 months that we'll talk about as well. I've actually been having fun exploring myself and my life through numbers over the last couple of days. And so we're going to bring Susan in here in a second. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. We'll bring her in and we'll talk a little bit. Believe it or not, I'm going to open myself up more than I have on this show, I think ever. So be prepared for quite the journey today. As I've given Susan my numbers off air, and we'll talk a little bit about it here on the show today. So Susan Owens is a numerologist, intuitive, and tarot reader. She believes in living our best life, reaching our full potential, and allowing or following our destiny. Numerology found Susan in the early 1990s, and she was fascinated with the synchronicity, the guidance, and growth that the practice offered. Susan has compiled her knowledge, again, an understanding of numerology, into The Wisdom of Numerology, which if you're on video, Susan, go ahead, hold up the book. There it is, right there, Wisdom of Numerology. And she has another book, which, Susan, what's the name of the new book you have coming up?
The new book is Know Your Superpowers, Know Your Future. And that comes out, I tell you, April 22nd, fingers crossed.
Of course, it's going to come
out.
It's going to come out April 22nd. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in for the first time to Darkness Radio, Susan Owens. Susan, thank you so much for being on.
Oh, gosh, thanks so much, Tim. I'm excited about it. This is going to be a blast. I love doing this.
Definitely going to be a blast. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not quite the new numbers guy. I'm the English guy. So, I mean, in college, it was journalism. It was broadcast journalism. So as I sit down and I know you said, you know, you do a brilliant job, by the way, in the back half of the book, sitting down and taking us by the hand and leading us and saying, okay, here's how you break it down. And if you need any help, just let me know. You do a wonderful job of doing that. So again, my kudos to you.
Thank you for that. I appreciate hearing it.
Absolutely. So when you gave us the birthday calculations and everything to sit down and figure out the different calculations, because there's different categories we'll go through here in the first part of the program, so you can figure out what it is you need to figure out in numerology to figure out where you're going with your life and how things work in your life. Because it's not just, you know, take a couple of numbers out of your birth date and it's a generic reading. There's many different things in your life that you can figure out just by the numbers, not only the numbers in your birth date, but in your name, correct?
Absolutely. Those are the two pieces of information we use in numerology, your birth date and the name on your birth certificate, because that's who you came in to be into this lifetime, is that name on your birth certificate. And of course, your birth date, you can't change. You can change your name, which doesn't change who you're meant to be, who you came in to be, but it does bring in some different numerical energy, because everything has energy, right? Mm-hmm. So when you change your name, you change some of the energy in your number energy in your life. That's all that does. And in fact, that's why there's a Z in my name, because that's my nom de plume. That's not legal. Legal, it's an S. But I wanted to put an 8 in my name because an 8 is all about money, entrepreneurship, management, being an authority. So I added that 8.
Nice.
I added a Z because that's an 8. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, I gotta point this out too, because a lot of people will say, well, you know, my name is William, but I hate William, so I go by Squirt or something like that. Does that change up our destiny at all? If you want to go by a nickname for the rest of your life?
No, again, we use the current name, because when I did your chart, I used your full name, including your middle name, right? Because
yes,
that's the name on the birth certificate.
Yep.
But I also look at your current name, which excludes your middle name. So because you go by Tim, right?
Yep.
So I use that, and that gives us a different calculation. In fact, we were talking about this. It's so interesting that your life path comes from your birth date, and your destiny comes from your name on your birth certificate. Okay, mm-hmm. Now this is really interesting. Oh God, you have so many eights in your chart, it's crazy. But one of the main things that I wanted to share with you is that your destiny number is a master number. I don't know if anybody else ever told you that. And not only that, it's kind of a rare number. Your destiny is a 44-8. There it is. You've got eight birthdays. You've got eight in your birthday number and a lot of places.
Yeah.
And then you have this destiny eight, which says to me, you are absolutely business, entrepreneurship, being an authority in your current field, whatever that is. And also a lot of balance in your life, because you've got also another number in there that says there's balance. But that 44 is that you, boy, the first thing that I want to say, and I don't know this for anything, but the first thing I want to say is that your destiny is to do something on a global scale, like hugely global scale, that uplifts humanity and the consciousness of humanity. Because I don't see that 44-8 very often. And I also see that 8 as abundance, whether you want it financial or wherever you want that 8. That tells me you're going to be a huge success in whatever it is you choose to do. Now, when I see 8s like this, it also tells me, but it's not your life path number. Your life path number is a 6. Which is all about home and family. And we already talked about, between you and me, we talked about how important family is to you. Well, I can see that right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That is paramount in your life. But to have this 8, it's like to have this 44-8 in your chart in such a powerful place. I mean, we're talking destiny, life purpose, whatever you want to say, that says to me, the sky's the limit to you. Absolutely. The universe, you are not limited in whatever you choose to do. That's what I see that 44-8 showing up as.
Okay, so now you're about to hit a whole wall of frustration here in a minute, Susan, but go ahead, continue what you're going to say.
Okay. So, all right. Let me say this another way, because what numbers do is they support you.
Okay. Sure.
This isn't a response. It is a responsibility. I see it as a responsibility because I'm an achiever. I want to be the best. I want to live my best life. Whatever I have to do, bring it on. I want to live, you know. I've never stepped away from a challenge and that I can think of right now. Anyway, but you understand my point is that energy, numbers have energy, and these numbers support you in being a great success. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend of mine that actually, she was an 8. Well, last year, 2024 was an 8 year, 2 + 2 + 4 is an 8. And she is an 8. And she and I we're talking about all the things that 8 means, that it's all about business and management and doing all this. And she said, I'm just feeling overwhelmed. Like I've got so much I have to do this year. And I said, no, it's not like that. It's, you can do that, but it also really, those numbers mean that you have that energy behind you, underneath you, supporting you to achieve whatever you want to achieve. And that's what that 44-8 is for me that I see. And that, God, I don't usually say this either. There's a chosen one, quote unquote, about you as well, that there's, And it doesn't have to happen right now. And I was looking at your chart too. We were looking at some other things.
Okay.
And I don't know that it's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
I would likely say no. But you have a future of a huge amount of opportunity coming up. I'll just say it that way.
Okay. I'll take that.
Okay, good. Yeah, I get so excited because I was like, oh, that's a number I don't see. Let me talk about that. But I don't want to overwhelm you. The other thing that's really interesting in your chart is, and I think you knew this, is that you have, we have pinnacles and challenges that we calculate from your birth date. And that comes, and that's in my book, How to Calculate These Pinnacles and Challenges. But we add and subtract your birth date numbers. And the pinnacles are the numbers that, again, very much support you in achieving some new levels of understanding. Now, your pinnacle numbers are sevens. You got quite a few sevens in there. There's four numbers, three of them are seven for you, which tells me that that's a huge, seven is the metaphysical number. It's the number of deep introspection and understanding. It's an intellectual number, and yet there's a spiritual element to it. So your pinnacles I'm not going to say you're an ancient mystic or sage, but you have the ability to really understand things on a different, I want to say higher plane.
Okay.
And you told me earlier that you listen to books at a fast pace.
Yes.
And you do two a week, and it's like, that would make me nuts. I got to sit down and read it. Of course, I'm a reader. I am not, my listening is not my strength. But you, of course, being in broadcasting where you are, listening is absolutely your powerhouse. So anyway, back to your pinnacles. So you've got the ability to be a super, I'm building your ego today, I think, but super intellectual in this, a way to understand things in a way that a lot of people don't get. Okay. Uh-huh. And that is evidenced by the way that you learn. So you've got some great pinnacles that tell me you're going to have an understanding and be able to give back to people. And that's the purpose. This is the thing that a lot of people don't understand, is that we're here to have the ability to understand. And the main thing about that understanding and absorbing and experiencing life is that the really important piece is to give it back, is to be able to express it in a way to other people. And like I told you with that 844-8 that says you're going to do it on a global level, international level of understanding things and explaining things and giving it back to the masses. So the other thing that's really interesting is that the pinnacles and the challenges are calculated. This one, that we add the numbers in pinnacles, we subtract the numbers to get the challenges. Now, when we subtract your birth date together, you have zero challenges. I've seen it before. It's unusual, but I have seen it a couple of times before in my career. And what that means is, it's interesting that, you don't have to have any challenges in your lifetime, that you just kind of go through life. You don't have a lot of blocks as far as the challenges go. And challenges aren't blocks. They're lessons that to be learned, that you need to learn in order to achieve your pinnacles. So it's kind of like you've got the way is paved for you, right, to just achieve your potential in your pinnacles. However, there's another thing to look at with your challenge numbers, and that is that you can go through every number as a challenge number. We have 1 through 9. Every number in the universe can be reduced to a 1 through a 9, right?
Okay.
So you can go through and have a 1 challenge for a year. And another year you could go through and have all the 2 challenges, which means not understanding what communication is and not understanding learning to work with people. That would be a 2 challenge.
Okay.
A 3 challenge is allowing your creativity to flow and understanding what that means and not get scattered. A 4 challenge, understanding discipline and structure and doing the hard work, the diligence. 5 challenge is understanding what being adaptable is. A 6 challenge is understanding relationships, because that's what 6 is all about. A 7 is a challenge for a 7 would be not being too skeptical and really being able to delve deep into who you are. An 8 challenge is understanding what money and management and power really is. A 9 challenge is honoring humanity and all aspects of it. So that was a long explanation. I can't even remember what the original question was, if there was. But the point is that your chart is unique, and it gives you poses some really interesting questions about the kind of life you've led.
You know what? I think I can tell you. I think I could tell you, because I think I've been taking bumps up and down the challenge tree. I think, you know, even though the way is clear, I'm the, pardon my language, Susan, I'm the dumbass who decides to take stops at every challenge and try everything. Because I've had one other numerologist tell me, oh yeah, you have zero challenges. And I'm like, well, then why do I have so many challenges? You know, that was my big problem. And I'm like, well, then why so many difficulties? Well, then you see, I've learned more sitting with you and sitting with your book in the last 2 days than I think about my life than I've learned in the last 54 years.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Yeah, I really have.
And that whole thing about challenge is contrast. You have to have contrast. If we didn't have contrast, we'd never grow and we wouldn't understand what a really great thing is. Yeah. If it's all the same. And I think that's why I truly believe that's why we come to this planet, so that we can understand what contrast is. So, right. And see, in you and I, we don't share a lot of numbers, truly. And usually I connect with people because I share their numbers, but there's something else going on between us because I feel really connected to you. And we both share that, what is it? The desire to be a better person.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't back off from things. It's like, all right, if this is what I'm supposed to learn, then let's do it. Let's do it. Because I absolutely want to be the best form of a human being that I put on this earth to be.
Right.
It that's important to me, and you're nodding your head, so obviously it's important to you. So yes. I think the challenge, but here's the good news with you, because some people, most people that have a zero challenge, because that's not unusual. If you have in your birth date, if you have two numbers that are exactly the same, right? Like your, say, for instance, if your birthday was August 8, right? Mm-hmm. Those two numbers would be the same. And you, at one point, to calculate your challenge numbers, you subtract those. There's a zero. So it's not unusual to have a zero, one zero. You just got a bunch of them. And what that means is that because you've done these challenges, it doesn't mean your whole life's going to be that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like you've chosen to experience every number challenge. That's okay. But you've got zero challenges throughout your entire lifetime. So it may not always be that way. Mm-hmm. It might just lighten up. And I would guess that it would, because you know, and then you've got challenges in your life that show up in a different way, not just the pinnacles and challenges. Plus, the other thing I want to tell you is a zero challenge means you're an old soul.
Oh,
so you're this is not your first go around here.
Okay.
So
I also had the other thing that the other numerologist had told me I had zero challenges said, which I thought was very odd, was that she said, I expected you to be a lot more conceited when I sat and talked to you. I expected you to be incredibly narcissistic.
And I was that's the eight. I can see that. See that all those eights in your chart, that's the authority. That's the power. That's the one that, yeah, I can absolutely see that. The thing about you is that eight, that expression number, that expression, the destiny number eight. Yeah. You wear that humility. And I think that's your six that humbles that eight, that 33-6 humbles that eight. So, When I see an eight like that, I know that either you're really good at money or you suck at it. And life will bring you experiences to learn about money. So the quicker you can do that, the better you'll be. To understand what money is.
I'm an open book. I suck at it. Yeah. I don't have a pot to piss in, Susan. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, interesting. So maybe there's a part there. So find a program. There's a lot of good ones out there to understand what money really is. And it's just energy. Again, it's the numbers. But and maybe that's keeping you humble.
If we can address that, because I think I learned more about that as it relates to me by reading your book. You know, I was reading about the sixth energy in your book. Yeah. And I focused in on that when I finally figured out which number I was. I started reading or listening about the sixth energy, and I finally realized why I struggle so much with it, because it is an energy flow. And I think I've spent so much of my time trying to reach out and grab it and think of it as a physical thing and not an energy exchange, right? And not as, you know, I've always looked at it as you got to reach out, grab it, and go get it. Because really, it was my stepdad that used to say, I don't make money, money doesn't make me, I make money, right? I go out and get it. I got to go out and grab it. I got to go out and procure it. But the way that it was stated in the outline of the six energy is, no, it's not like that. It's really go about your business, go about your art, go about what it is you do, go about being a humanitarian, go about doing what it is you do, the money will flow. Money is just an energy, right? And I haven't done that in my life.
It's all chasing the dollar, you know, and that's true. I totally see that. And there's two things I want to say. One, my dad could just make money. He was just magical at that. And he played a game with it. He loved it. It was like gambling. Whatever he did was a gamble. He never went to Vegas, but he, you know, it was like he just played. And when he couldn't do it anymore, he didn't care what happened to it. So interesting. Okay. So, don't lose the other train of thought. There was something else you said that I wanted to talk about. Money's just energy, right? Yeah. So it flows through. It just flows through. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of crooks. That's a loud word. I don't mean that.
All right.
But a lot of people chasing the dollar that might not do it with a lot of integrity. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. Well, the money will come to them. They'll get the money, but it'll leave. If you do what you just described, which is look at the bigger picture, support humanity, be of service to humanity, then the money comes back to you. Because again, it is just an exchange. It's really, and really that's a healthy way to look at it.
Yeah. You know, I, if anything, it was just an affirmation for me as I sat and I read the book that, you know what, I've been going about it the wrong way, because there's times where, and it really hit me, there's times where you might be down to your last dollar and you're thinking, what can I do to get money? And that's the wrong way to be thinking about it, because the more you focus on it, the more it's going to slip through your fingers.
Right. The more you focus on lack, the lack you have, the less you have. Right.
Yeah.
And I know it's really hard to be positive from a place of not having it. That's right. Not easy. I totally get it. But it is also the way that I make that little bit of shift is gratitude for what I do have. It's right. Like, I am so grateful for what life has brought me. All right, let's be an open book. I was adopted 4 years old. I was abandoned. My birth mother told me and my three other siblings to get in a car with three strangers, and they took us to an orphanage. So that was pretty traumatic. And I've had an incredible life since. I've reconnected with her, my biological mom. She lives 10 minutes away from me. We've been together now for 13 years. It's wonderful. But that happening at a four-year-old in your life, it's crazy to think about. She was 16. She was, okay. Let me tell you her story. Not that she's an open book, but I'll tell you, this is crazy. Okay?
Yeah, please.
So she was and this is what they said then, a bastard in the 30s.
Oh.
Okay. So her mom got pregnant at 16, had her, and her mom never got over the shame of having a child out of wedlock in the 50s, in the 30s. And fortunately, she found a man that married her and was a stepfather. Well, this guy, he had his own demons. He was a good man, right? But he was a cross-dresser, okay?
Okay.
And in the 30s, you know, you could get thrown in jail for being a pervert. And I'm not calling him one. I'm just saying that's what they said then.
Yep.
I mean, now you get your own radio show, right?
That's right.
You can have your own TV show.
Get your own podcast, You make money on it.
Right, your own podcast.
That's right.
So anyway, so she grew up in a house full of shame. Well, guess who gets pregnant at 15? My biological mom.
Yeah.
And my birth dad was, she had six kids by the time she was 21. So here's this child, not even hard, well, she was married by that time. But so a lot of chaos in my heritage, right? Mm-hmm. And there's, you know that there's huge stuff to genetics. But turning my life around, coming from 4 years of chaos, because the man she was married to at the time would just put his coat on in the middle of the winter and walk out the door. We wouldn't see him for months. And sometimes we found him. Sometimes somebody else found him and brought him back. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. But anyway, so coming from that, and it's in my chart, you know, pretty crazy beginnings, and moving into a family of, how do I say this? In the 60s, they didn't think about they only thought about behavior. They didn't think about nurturing and all that. They were happy to find a home that could take care of me. Mm-hmm. Food, shelter, clothing. That was it. And so growing up that way, and I didn't want to steal your thunder talking about you at all. It's just like we all have, right? We all have our life challenges. And where mine was a six that didn't show up at all in my chart, and family, my karmic debt was rolled around in a family atmosphere where it was going to be broken and changed and progressed, and now it's come around. I have two beautiful daughters and four grandkids. It's like, oh my gosh, and family's paramount in my life, but there was a time in my life when it wasn't at all, you know.
Well, that's so wonderful. That's
my story.
That's a wonderful story. And I'm glad you told that story, Susan. I really am. That's a wonderful beginning to generations to come, right?
It really is. And breaking that generational inheritance. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I don't know about my birth grandmother, whether she was illegitimate child or not. I mean, it, you know, but fortunately it's been broken. That whole chain of events has been broken, and that's, and cleaning that up in that kind of experience.
Yeah.
Crazy story.
There's a little bit of messiness in my family tree too. I mean, but that's much like yours. Mine's cleaned itself up too. So it's kind of, it's kind of cool to see that, right?
You know, I think we're in that timing. I really do. I think that because we're on the brink, you know, that there's big change coming. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's what our job is to do in this generation. You and I aren't that far apart in years. And I think there's something about that it's our job to clean up some stuff, let go of things and really make a shift, make a change for what's coming.
Absolutely. Tell you what, we'll take a break here. When we come back, I have a few questions outside of just you and I. I want to ask about the audience in general, and I want to ask you kind of an interesting question, and that's this. When it comes to people's charts in general, have you ever seen, and hold on to this for after the break, have you ever seen an irredeemable chart? In other words, a chart from someone that you just look at them and go, there's no hope for them. Oh. Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. If there's such a thing as, you know, is there no good in anyone? We'll talk about that when we come back. And we'll get a little deeper into other things when it comes to, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the definitions and some of the things about the charts. We'll talk about a karmic debt number and different numbers, and heck, we'll even see if I've got a huge karmic debt coming up that I need to pay. we'll talk about stuff like that. Susan Owens is our guest. The book that's available right now, and we'll have a link to it in the description of this program so you can pick it up. It's a wonderful book, folks. And again, so you can, and there Susan's holding it up right now, Wisdom of Numerology. So you can pick up a copy yourself. Literally, you can sit down and figure it out for yourself, your own numbers, and plan out your own chart. You can figure out where it is you stand or sit in the universe and exactly who you are just based on your birth date and your name. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, folks, in my 54 years of existence, I don't think I've been this enlightened as to exactly where I've sat, who I am, and where I'm going. I thought to myself, numerology, I don't know that I very much believe in it. But when I sat down and started looking at the numbers, it really does fit my character. In fact, I made a joke yesterday. I got to tell you, Susan, before we go to break, I made a joke that maybe I needed to quit and become a holy man, some sort of holy man, after the show. Kind of thinking I need to. I don't know. A holy man or a counselor.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Really quick. I just did a show with two priests.
Did you?
Yes. That was so funny. I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there. So there you go.
Oh, you may have just done one with a third. Who knows? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about, is there such a thing as an irredeemable chart? And we'll get into some other factors of different things on your chart and what to look for. We'll talk about that with Susan Owen next on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
At Ritual, we know what goes into a magical holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. This new year, take a moment for yourself with simple daily rituals that help you put your foundational health at the top of your to-do list. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin is a clinically backed multivitamin featuring 9 high-quality key essential ingredients to help you fill key nutrient gaps in your diet. Or maybe you're stressing your daily protein intake, or you want to double down on support for your gut microbiome. From plant-based essential protein to 3-in-1 pre, pro, and postbiotic strains with Symbiotic Plus, Ritual helps you focus on supporting your body after a long season of juggling everybody else. And for a limited time, do it with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guest is Susan Owens. The book, which I'll have Susan hold it up yet again, because we can't get it. It's such a wonderful cover. Whoops, there we go, the other way. Wisdom of Numerology. Susan Owens is our guest, and that is the book right there. You can, if you can see it on video there, it's Wisdom of Numerology. A wonderful book. And if you've ever had questions, folks, anything about numerology, whether you are a skeptic about it, whether you believe in it, I'll tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I went in being the biggest skeptic about numerology ever, but sat down with Susan's book and read it from cover to cover, or speechified it from cover to cover because I speechify. And I'll tell you, when I started looking at the numbers, it hasn't been the first time I've ever sat down with a numerologist, but I got more explanation of what things were. I got a detailed explanation. I got a detailed explanation of exactly who I am, what the numbers break down to, and exactly it made sense. Everything made sense. And Susan breaks it down from beginning to end of exactly how things go for you, how they're supposed to go for you. And it all lines up. It all lined up for me. Finally, the light bulb went on. And I don't know why it took all this time for the light bulb to go on, or why it was this big secret, or why it's been this big secret for so long, Susan. But I don't know. What's the big deal? Why do people hold on to that secret, or why do numerologists seem to want to hold on to that secret? And why did it take all this time for someone to put it in this book form, or even you to put it in this book form?
Well, okay, a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, the reason I wrote that book is because I couldn't find one like it.
Okay.
And I started looking at what our humanity's come to today, which is we don't have a lot of time to read. So how can I write a clear and concise book on the subject of numerology? So if you want, like you said, if you want to know what a six life path is, well, then you turn to whatever page it is and read a couple paragraphs. That's it. So it gives you a real, so it's easy to read. That's another thing. And the other thing, and you keep alluding to this, is that in the back of the book, not in the back of the book, in the other, second half of the book, it talks about, it takes you to some pretty high level calculations, but the book does walk you through it and you can figure all of it out. It does make sense. So it starts, it's a beginning book and it goes into some high level things. Now, we have to answer the question about numerology. I got to tell you this. I can't find it right now really quick on my phone, or I'd show it to you. But Lucille Ball, remember the I Love Lucy show, yeah, right? Everybody knows I Love Lucy.
Yep.
Well, she does a show, and she begins the show reading a book on numerology. And I have the photograph that I took of watching the thing, and she's reading it, and Ricky comes in and he said, "Oh, Lucy, you're doing it again. You did astrology and tarot last month. Now this month it's numerology." And she says, "Oh, but Ricky, this is the best one. This is, I went, oh my gosh." So numerology used to be a lot more popular. It sort of lost, I don't know why it lost its flavor, but it was on the James Garner, you remember Maverick? I don't know, that's probably been before your time, but
he did
a show on the metaphysical and talked about numerology. And then I've seen it in videos or movies. There was one movie, I can't remember the name of it, but a guy's asking for a girl's phone number. Mm-hmm. And she finally gives it to him. And he said, "Well, I'm going to have to check my numerologist on that one." So it's been, it's ancient wisdom, right? It's been around for thousands of years, but it's kind of lost its flavor, I think. Let me say it this way. Astrology is more popular, and I think that is because Linda Goodman,
yes,
she kind of brought, it was a big book in the 70s, I think, is when she wrote that. So it's just a matter of really, and numerology now is gaining some favor. People are really looking at it like you are.
Yeah.
And they're hearing about it. I never heard about it until I read that first book. I thought, "Oh my God, I don't even know what this is." And then I read it, and like you, exactly like you too, Tim, it's like, "Oh my goodness, this is me. This is me. Oh, shoot, there I am again." I mean, seriously, it really nailed me in all of it. And I just, and then when I'd read about it, I couldn't get enough. It's like, oh, I was a sponge. Just, okay, give me more. Give me more. Give me more.
Well, they say, Susan, words have power, right? If words have power, then numbers have to have power. You would think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then also what you asked me before about negative numbers, truthfully, if I see something negative in a chart or a big challenge coming up or something, I won't delve into it. In fact, I won't even talk about karmic debt if it's not in a prominent place in their chart.
Okay.
I have talked about karmic debt, and I don't see it as a bad thing. It's like you just did something in another life and you got to clean it up in this one. There it is. That's really what karmic debt is. And my birthday is the 19th.
Okay.
So that is a karmic debt number. And what that means is that I will find a time in my life that I have to stand on my own. And I've lived through it, and it was the worst experience of my life. the most, my divorce was a cakewalk compared to this lawsuit that I had to go through.
Really?
And it was, I had a whole team of soldiers. I mean, these men were supposed to help me and everything. And the day of the reckoning, it was like they had their swords in the dirt and their backs turned to me. It was just bizarre. Oh. I was standing alone in the whole deal. It was fascinating. And I look back on that and I went, oh, yep, there's that 19-1. And it was a huge life lesson I needed to learn. I was playing victim. Well, no more. You know, that one I have to take responsibility for. So I don't look at the negative and anything. Like you asked me if there was a, if there's a chart that shows
that's someone's irredeemable, right?
Irredeemable.
Right. Someone who's, okay. And I'll give you an example. We did a show once where we gave, I believe we gave a numerologist a numerologist the charts or maybe it was an astrologist. We gave him the charts. I don't remember if it was a numerologist or the astrologist, the charts of four different people. One of them was Mr. Rogers. One was a world leader. There was a third person, and the other one was Charles Manson. And we wanted to see if they could pick out exactly who they were. And this astrologist picked every single person by personality and said that Mr. Rogers was incredibly kind. He served the world. He was great with children. But then the Manson one was incredible. It was incredibly psychotic, narcissistic. I mean, it was boom, 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 boom. Cult-like following, had the ability to pull people in. Just describe Manson to a T.
Wow.
And I went, whoa, you got all that from, you know. But, and I don't remember if it was
astrology.
I think it was astrology. I don't think it was numerology. But again, charts, numbers. I mean, I'm sure if you pulled now again, if we got Charlie Manson's full name and birth date, do you think it would show that here's this person that, and I don't want to ever think that, again, it's my nature. I don't want to think that someone's completely irredeemable, that there's not a speck of good in them. But do you think that there's that chart out there that says, you know what, we're getting close to the point where there's not a lot of good in them?
Well, you know, that's interesting because I've done the president's chart because everybody wants to know about that. Mm-hmm. And, fortunately, I did it for a show where I knew the audience was pro. So it was easy to do, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't probably do a show where it was negative anyway. That's just not me.
Yeah.
I look at a chart. And like I said, if there's anything really negative or really challenging, I might propose it that way, that, okay, this is going to be a challenging time or something. Right. Now, this is where I think that, okay, this is my own philosophy of life. We all have free will. So I did a chart for a woman once. Now, this is different because I did the chart without knowing the person, without talking to the person, and it was her mother's chart, and she wanted to pay for her mom, and she was so excited to give it to her mom, and she had a lot of master numbers, right? 22. She had 22 in her chart, a couple of different places, and I said, this woman has an incredible ability to make some good money. I mean, I can see this, and of course, and that's my spin. I will put a positive spin on it. Otherwise, it'll be you could look at this. So when I gave it to the daughter, she heard it. She listened to the recording and she said, my mom doesn't do anything. She just sits in a chair and gambles. And I was so dumbfounded at that. Not dumbfounded. I was surprised at it because I thought, here you have all this, really, these numbers support you in doing great things, but we all have free will.
Yeah.
And She just never, ever got it going. The other thing, when you're talking about that, I have someone that is not really in my life anymore, but was at one point, and I've come to know him as a psychopath. So it's just incredible pathological liar.
Yeah.
And I've looked at that chart and I've wondered why, where is that in there? Where is that, that it's that liar piece? And, you know, honestly, it was hard for me to even try to find it because there were a lot of good numbers.
Yeah.
And it really just came down to, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'm gonna be the evil being that I want to be and just do what I want to do. And granted, there were a lot of trauma as a kid. I knew that story too. So, you know, that has something effect on it. But that's so interesting to think about doing an astrology chart for those people.
Yeah, yeah. It was an interesting experiment to kind of do the blind test and pull those numbers and then have them describe it. You bring up an interesting thing, and that is, can something hide within a chart? Can a personality hide within a chart? And can someone really, you know, have a characteristic there, or is it a learned characteristic that comes up later in life? You know, can someone be altruistic and then all of a sudden develop a dark side and go against everything that is in their chart? You know, can you have for lack of a better term, let's say, I'll use myself as an example. I don't think I have this side. But let's say I have all these, I have zero challenges. It looks like I want to be a humanitarian, or that I'm destined for this path where I want to serve humanity, I want to do good things, but all of a sudden I have this incredibly weird streak to me where, you know, I embezzle the company funds or whatever, or I have this weird streak where I commit crimes, or I go out and I rob banks, or I go out and I do evil, evil things. Is it a human thing where I've gone off my path? Or is it something in the chart where maybe there's a little kink in the chart somewhere that says, you know what, this is where he potentially could go off kilter and you can find it right here?
Yeah. Okay. So that's really, I've never thought about this stuff either, Tim. This is really fascinating. So for me, the way that I would look at it is, okay, I've met you. We've talked. I know that you have a pretty solid moral compass. However, you do have these eights. And, oh, this is interesting. Okay, so I do know somebody, and he's, what, 10, I think? So he's 10 years old. And he has, and I know the family history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked genealogy too, right?
Yeah.
So this is really interesting. And I remember looking at this when he was very young, and I'm going, oh, look at all those eights, huh? Knowing the history, the genealogy, and seeing these eights, I remember having that thought in my mind, which way is this kid going to go? You know, because, yeah, I know the history here, and you've got the numbers here that could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
You could either do good, or you could really be the narcissist that could be. So I don't see it in a chart. I don't look for it in a chart.
Yeah.
But I think it would be that if there's something that comes up, like with you, for instance, I would say, okay, you've got some challenges coming. And I think if you took a left here, for instance, I wouldn't say this to you, mm-hmm. but it would be the human piece of you that would say, all right, I'm going to deviate from all of this, and I'm going to make this choice to go this way, as opposed to follow the I don't know, righteous is the right word, but you know what I'm saying? The heavenly path, I guess, as opposed to looking at the dark side of things.
No, I get that. It's kind of funny. I mean, people who listen or watch the show know that I worked in pro wrestling for a while as a ring announcer, right? So I'll give you an analogy that John Cena just said recently, and that is because he turned heel or he turned bad guy recently on WWE programming. I know it might be above your head. You probably don't watch pro wrestling, Susan, so I'll give you that.
Not too often, but go ahead.
But he said, in the line he said was perfect because people had been kind of railing against this new bad guy character. And he said, you know what? In real life, we all don't make perfect decisions all the time. There's times where we, especially as we get older, where not only are there shades of gray, but occasionally we make bad decisions because, you know what? Our morals have changed. And we see things from a different perspective. So when we're older, what we think may be a decent decision to us, from a younger perspective, is an evil decision. And when you look at it that way, eventually, all the good guys eventually become bad. You know, it's kind of a weird take on things, but you can't be altruistic.
That is different, I'll tell you, yeah.
It is. You can't be altruistic for your entire life. I mean, eventually, yeah, all the good guys do eventually become bad.
Well, I don't know about that, but because I consider myself a light worker, and that's powerful to me. That's
oh, sure.
That's what keeps me motivated, is being a light worker and looking toward the light. I'm not a big, I don't watch the news. I pay attention as much as I have to. Somebody sent me something the other day about the state of Idaho. You know, I told you I live in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And a teacher, did you hear this? I don't know. A teacher had on her classroom, all are welcome here, and it had a bunch of hands, or I don't know what I mean. Anyway, the principal said, take it down. And she said no, and they fired her. And then there was a whole lot of support for the school saying, you know, get rid of that. The state of Idaho, right?
Yeah.
And then now that it's turning around, there's all this, they're selling T-shirts that all are welcome here with all these different colored skin tone hands, you know, and all this thing.
Yep.
And this friend of mine in South Carolina sent it to me. And I said, you know, both are so true of Idaho. And then I think of everywhere. Really, you know, I mean, it's just who we are right now.
Yeah.
Divided. And it's, you and I could get into a long conversation about where we're headed. But for me, it's staying in the light. It's staying in the positive side of everything.
True.
And just believing it's all good. You know, it's all going to work out whether we know or not. How we know, we don't know how, it just is.
True.
Who says that? It all works out in the end, and if it isn't worked out, it's not in the end. It's not the end yet, you know.
That's a good one too. Yeah. That's very true. That's very true as well. Speaking of, let's talk about karmic debt for a moment, and the different factors in the chart. Boy, I'm having a good time with this conversation. I'm looking at time here and I'm going, holy cow, what are we gonna fit in here? We have different factors in the chart here, Susan, and I know we talked a little bit about debt and karmic debt, and you talked a little bit about your own karmic debt. I want to talk a little bit, you had alluded to past lives, and I want to know how much past lives really affect your current chart. So for example, if I'm not aware of what my past lives are, let's say I've blissfully come into this life, I don't know what my past lives are. I don't know what kind of karmic debt I have to serve. I think I'm, you know, I come into this life with a clean slate blissfully, right? And how do I know what I have yet to serve as far as karmic debt in my chart? And how bad I'm going to get it, and why am I getting it? Is that all in my chart?
You know, okay. So you do have a karmic debt number that shows up on your personality.
Oh.
Now That sounds stronger than it is.
No, but I'm intrigued.
There's five core numbers that we deal with. The first one is your life path. That comes from your birth date or your superpowers. That's the next book. Mm-hmm. And then the destiny number, and then the rest of them come from your name. So it's your destiny, and it's your soul number, which is the inner you number. And then your personality, which is the outer you number. It's who you show yourself to be in public to people. Okay. Mm-hmm. How people would describe you. All right. And after this conversation, I'd absolutely describe you this way. And the last one is your maturity number that kicks in about mid 30s. Okay. So your personality is a 16-7. Now this is, we talked about the seven being the intellectual, because like I said, that's you've got sevens all over your chart too. So it's interesting that it's also as a karmic debt number, and you only have that one in your one that only shows up in your birth, in your personality. Okay, so 16, the six is all about relationships and family. So in another lifetime, you abused relationships. You abused your power in relationships. So in this lifetime, relationships are going to be interesting for you. That's what I would say, that they might even be a challenge for you. You might not be able to find the right person. I do know, I've seen it before, and I always say that your picker's broken. You cannot choose the right person no matter what, you know? So, and until you understand what that really means, the right person, I flashed on this one woman, and she always went for the really buff, really healthy, police guys or military guys and all that. Well, they're never. And then what she truly wants is a really wonderful relationship.
Yeah.
And the guys that she chooses are not going to give her that. They're all, that relationship isn't important to them, but that's who she goes after. Right.
Right.
Which, by the way, here's a funny story. Somebody said, why is it that I'm only meeting these guys that are only the bad guys, right? And somebody said, well, it's not that you're just meeting them. It's that you keep giving them your phone number. So there you go.
True.
And so I know that it's a challenge finding the right partner.
Right.
And I think that the more you experience the right partnership and relationship, you get your life lessons and you heal that karmic debt. So does that make sense to you?
That does. Okay. So I'm going to get a little deeper with it. Like Edie Brickell said, shove me in the shallow water before I get too deep. So I'm going to throw this in with soul families and past lives. If you believe that you travel through certain lives with certain people,
absolutely.
And if you believe that you have stuff to resolve with certain people from other lives, maybe even past relationships, how does that end up coming through the wash when, like, let's say you're traveling from one life to another with a certain person that you've been in relationships with and they pop up in this life? Are you doomed to repeat the same mistakes, even though, you know, in your chart, you probably should be kicking them to the curb and moving on, or how does that work?
Well, it's not always the same relationship. I am a firm believer, you know, I mean, we haven't always been men, the same gender in all of these. We've been the same. So I follow a woman, and she's dead now, darn her. fabulous woman called Dolores Cannon.
Yeah.
And she talks about past lives and where she has gone in doing the past life regressions with her clients. And what was I going to tell you? Anyway, the point of it is that yes, we not necessarily every single lifetime is the same people, but I think that even to a minor degree, like you get into a minor skirmish with something, that's past life stuff. That's how I look at it. It's like that if there's nothing that makes sense, it's past life stuff. And then even if it does make sense. So the way that Dolores talks about ending that, cutting the tie, is because there is a contract, right? We come into this lifetime with a contract. I'm going to do this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And you can cut that contract. You can stop that, cut the tie between the person, say, yep, we tried doing it. We tried to make it work. Didn't work. Done. I'm finished. Right. I mean, seriously, that's exactly what she says. And I think there's truth to that, because like I told you, the worst experience in my life, my karmic debt was with someone I know I've been together with before many times, because this was this big. And I've done that exact thing. I've said, this is it. I'm done. Forgiveness. That was a big piece, but forgiveness, I've got a new definition for forgiveness, which is that it's not making what happened okay. Cause it that's not forgiveness. What it is, I'm okay with what happened, and I don't want to be in it with you anymore. That's forgiveness. It's like, I don't want to be in this space with you. And that's the forgiveness piece. It's like, I'm giving you back who you are, and, you know, I'm keeping me, and that's forgiveness as opposed to making it right. So,
that's interesting.
I believe that there's so much about our own lives that is just carries on from over and over and over. If you don't get the life lesson, then you're going to come right back to it. And that's the one more quick thing that, I had a very dear friend that passed away at 88, and she was adamant, every person in her life, it was going to be a clean slate when she crossed. And I'm a firm believer in that too. Mm-hmm. I want it all cleaned up. I don't want any karma mm-hmm. to carry. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this then, as we start to get to the end of the program here, Susan, because I think we could probably do this yet again and do another program again when the new book comes out. I'm curious as to whether the chart can tell us about future lives, or if we can, if there's something in the future after this life, you know, does it give us a hint as to what goes forward? I mean, we have an idea of what goes forward in this life, but does it give us an idea of what happens with soul growth, or does it give us an idea of a potential of, you know, not necessarily the end of our life here, but what begins after this life?
That's a really interesting question, because the charts that I see are from 0 to 99 years. Okay. Because numerology, we split your life up into three different sections. And now I'm beginning to look at your birth year as another way. And usually that third section begins at age 60, 55, 60. Well, we're living to hundreds now, right? We're living into the, so we've got 40 years, maybe even 50 years of one number. And now I'm looking at, maybe that's broken up into your life, your year that you were born. Anyway, that's too detailed. That's another book. Okay.
Okay.
So what I'm looking at, Tim, is this life. This is what your life is. And I think the questions that you're asking me, I want to come back and say, it's all free will. We all have choice. Here's your plate, if you will, of what's possible for you. And you make the choice of which way you're going to go. Because I think if somebody has a lot of karmic debt, and if they have a lot of karmic numbers that show up, that tells me there's going to be a lot of challenges in their lifetime. And it might be easier for them to fall into the, yeah, I'm not doing another challenge, and not learning another life lesson, and just taking the easy way out, which, by the way, that's a 13-4 life karmic debt number, is doing the easy way out.
Really? Okay.
But and you don't have that one, I can tell you that. So anyway, so really, I look at a numerology chart as a template. Is that the right word? Or something, and then you live it. You live it, and you make the choices, because this is all that's possible for you.
So would it be fair to call it a roadmap? Like, if I were to say to you, would it be easier for me earlier in life to have this roadmap and follow it, or have it to kind of steer me along? Or is it easier to have it later in life and say, you know what, I know where I've been, and I can, you know, if I'm like, say, middle-aged, and I say, okay, I know where I've been, I can see where I've been based on my chart, and I know now from the mistakes I've made that I have this sitting in front of me, and now I can live the second half of my life much better based on the mistakes I've made in the past.
Both. I mean, that's a horrible answer, but it's true. I wish I'd known growing up that I was a three life path, three superpowers. I'm a writer. I'm a communicator. I love to talk, and I'm creative. Oh my gosh. So if I'd known that as a child or even in my teens, wow, you've got this gift, girl. You could really, let's see what you can do with that. And I didn't really know until, and of course, you know, life, you've lived this mid 30s. That I could really write better than I thought I could. You know, I mean, I always liked to, but then when I started really doing it, it was like, oh yeah, this is it. So both, I would love to have known some of this stuff as a kid. And then also think about when you were a teenager, right? Or when you were growing up, that somebody was going to tell you these things that, okay, this is potential. Would you have listened? I mean, so there, it's both. That I found numerology in a perfect time in my life. Wish I'd known more when I was growing up, like I said, but I lived just long enough that I can look back and go, oh, that's what that was. Oh, that explains that. And then project into my future. It's like, oh, okay, I know what's coming. You know, how that plays out. Like, this is a 9 year. This is, everyone is a universal 9 year. You're in a blah 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 blah. What did I say? 5 year. This is a 5 year for you, or 7 year. Sorry, it's a 7 year for you personally. But not, 2025 is a 5 year. A 9 year. 2 + 2 + 5. So this is a year universally that we're going to be letting go of things. Things are going to leave us whether we're ready to or not. Things are going to change. And then 2026 is a 1 year. So new beginnings. And you can look at that at the political front. It's going to be a big difference. We're letting go of a lot of things this year. And the best way to describe a personal year or a universal year is 2020. That was the big year that we had to, as a 4 year, a year to really build a new foundation. Mm-hmm. We had to figure out how to live with the virus.
Yeah.
And what all that meant. So we had to redo, we had to reset then.
Yeah.
So there's things that happen, and it's nice to know that this is a 9 year. Okay, time to clean out my closets, metaphysical and physical closets. So I use that as a structure for me to run my life too. So yes, both. I mean, there's stuff I think I would have probably not heard when I was a kid, and stuff I wish I'd known information that way.
See, I was a kid who was partially raised by his grandparents. So I there's a lot of stuff I listened to because it came from them. So I don't know if they would have sat, if my grandmother would have sat down with me and had a numerology book in front of me, I probably would have listened to it.
I love that. I have a dear friend whose grandmother gave him a tarot deck when he was 14. It's like, you go. That's just fabulous. I love it. You know, so yeah. Anyway.
So it just depends on where the source was or who the source was that put it in front of me.
You know? Absolutely. So, yeah. Well, and grandparents are, you know, that there's a whole different relationship between parents and child and grandparents and child. It's Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh, I love this, Tim. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah.
And absolutely, you got to get me back because my new book's coming out and I absolutely want to talk to you again. This is way too much fun.
Absolutely. We'll do that. We'll do that. In the meantime, the book that, hold it up one more time here, Susan. We got to do that one more time. There we go. Wisdom of Numerology is the book that you can get right now from Susan Owens. We'll have a link in the description of this program so you can get that book. And again, you can do all this yourself. You can, although Susan does say in the book, she's available in case you do need some help, but you can do the numbers just fine. I did the numbers just fine myself. So you can do the numbers just fine yourself. I guarantee it. But it's a wonderful book. Pick it up. Even if you're skeptical, it's okay. Do that. Pick it up, do the numbers. You'll figure it out and you'll figure out your life path. It's a great thing. Susan, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today.
Tim, it was a blast. Thank you again. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Okay.
A couple of notes real quick here, folks, before we leave you today. One, the Apple app is up and available for Darkness Radio. If you don't have it, go to the Apple Store. Go get it. If you have it and you haven't updated it yet for iOS 18, update it. We need you to do so. And by all means, you can get your shows there. If you don't get them on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your shows, you can do it by the Darkness Radio app. Two, visit the Darkness Radio store at darknessradioshow.com. You can do that there. Support the show. And what else? I think that's pretty much it. Oh, yes. By the way, if you're watching this video on YouTube, like and subscribe, please. We would like you to subscribe. Like and subscribe, please, on this video. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you can find the video podcast on YouTube at The Original Darkness Radio. So come find us on video so you can watch Susan and I in the flesh. We'd appreciate that. So, all right, that'll do it. This weekend, go help somebody who's in need this weekend. Be a light in someone's darkness. We ask you to do that. Go out and be a light in someone's darkness this weekend, whether they're disabled, whether someone just needs your help, whether it be spring cleanup, whatever it is that they need. Go be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. For Mally Fox, for Jessica Freeberg, for Beer City Brews, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for listening and watching the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.